Welcome to the Cerebral Edge with strength and conditioning specialist Coach Chris. Join us for the next 30 minutes as Coach Chris shares ways to improve your health in all areas of your life. Along with his special guests, he strives to give you that cerebral edge to help make you 1% better every day. Now, here's Coach Chris.
Power Talk 1040. Welcome to the show. Every Saturday at this time, we bring you the Cerebral Edge with me, Coach Chris. It's a show that aims to give you the edge to be 1% better every day. Add it all up 365 days a year, and you're well on your way to a better version of yourself. It is a special Mother's Day episode, right? We all have mothers. Tell your mother you love her. Give her a call. Say hello. And today we have a mother slash trainer, Mary Wilson, today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're able to make it on the show. Mary has a very different approach to training and with women and all that. So go ahead, take it away. Tell the people what you do, how you do it, and how you're different.
Perfect. I have a degree in fitness and exercise science. My passion really is women's health, really taking women from pre-pregnancy, through pregnancy, and then postpartum, whether postpartum is 1 week or 50 years, just empowering women to really kind of be the best that they can be after having kids and not settling for dysfunction that sometimes happens with pregnancy. So I'm pregnancy and postpartum corrective exercise specialist, and like you have some, you have much more Z Health certifications under your belt, but I've got Z Health certifications as well. And just a passion for staying well through all the changes as a woman, as a parent, as an athlete, but no matter what your sport.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we really were talking about it. We're like, man, it's amazing that after women have kids, there's like literally no care after that.
No, I think in the United States especially, we are not, our postpartum care is pretty lacking as far as we go to our 6 week postpartum appointment. And as long as we're feeling okay, we're considered ready to go. And in Europe, we get a solid year of postpartum care and just looking, so much happens on the inside, obviously. And because it's not easy to see, then we quite often ignore it. And so when we laugh or cough or jump and there is leaking that happens, we just chalk it up to, well, that's what happens when you have a baby, and we settle. I mean,
that's
there's
normal.
There's a whole aisle in the grocery store for pads for women who leak, and that frustrates me, because if you or any other man or woman would come into the gym because their bicep won't function, we wouldn't say, oh, it's okay, just ignore it and put something, you know, strap it to your chest and hopefully it will start to heal and feel better. We would never do that. We would look for a solution. So it always frustrates me when we look at the musculature that is significantly affected with pregnancy and postpartum that is in the center of our skeleton. If there's dysfunction there, why would you ignore that?
Right. And when you're going in and you're delivering a child, right, and you're having that labor, especially just during the pregnancy, your abdomen like literally rips in half.
100% of women have a separation through that center of your abdomen called a diastasis or diastasis, depending on what part of the country you're from.
Depends on how much you had to drink that day.
Right, exactly. So when that happens in 100% of us in our ninth month of pregnancy, yes, quite often it will heal itself, but not with everyone. And so to get that back to a good place, especially if you are planning on having more children or are an active person, making sure that's healed properly is a really big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think are the biggest three things that women need to work on post-pregnancy?
Well, everybody's different. So that's going to, depending on, did they have a C-section? Did they have vaginal birth? Any types of complications? But making sure that your body is ready for the intensity of your exercise. So let's just take, you know, if you have a diastasis. I'm not saying don't exercise, 100% not saying that, but modifying the exercise that you want to do or love to do until that proper healing can take place. So if you are a plank and push-ups kind of girl, but you have a diastasis, that front-loaded exercise is just going to add more pressure to that vulnerable area.
Yes.
So let's find something else to do that isn't front-loading you until your body is ready to do that. So diastasis, pelvic floor weakness or tightness can happen postpartum. So figuring that out. Kegels is what generally is prescribed. I'm sure you have, well, you probably don't have girlfriends, but I have girlfriends who will talk about,
I better not have girlfriends. My wife's going to get mad at me.
Yeah, no, we don't want to do that. But sitting at a stoplight and, oh, I did my Kegels, you know, at every stoplight. There is a time and a place for that. But if you have a pelvic floor tightness issue, which can cause, you know, the leaking or the pain or discomfort that we've talked about, if you already have a tightness and then you're doing an exercise to create more tension, then we're just creating more dysfunction. So looking at that and making sure we know what level of dysfunction it is and then correcting it from there. And then again, your pelvis has gone through a lot with delivering a baby. So making sure that the deep hip rotators, the muscles in the, you know, that attach to the pelvis, the glutes, the hamstrings, mm-hmm. where your quads are, where your abdominals land, where the back muscles that attach to the pelvis, how are they functioning or are they not functioning? And then figuring that out and then managing the pressure through the abdominals and through the whole core and trunk to make sure mm-hmm. that we aren't putting extra undue pressure on vulnerable areas.
100%. Yeah, it's strange that people think that not having control of that leakage is normal, right? And it's just something that's supposed to happen. But you're here to say that's not normal and I can help you with that.
Yeah, don't settle. Don't settle for dysfunction when our bodies are amazing. We just have to have the right tools in order to get us back to pre-pregnancy function.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the people that come to me most of the time with back pain are people with C-sections, right?
Right.
Versus a vaginal birth, right? So some people come to me with that, right? And have some, but most of a majority of them that I see that have sciatica pain, a lot of dysfunction, are from those cesarean sections, right?
Right.
So explain a little bit about that, the neurological function that happens because of that and how that core gets thrown off because of that.
Sure. So when a woman has a C-section, they will cut through those deep abdominals. So you have one layer, it's like a corset, a deep layer of your abdominals called your transverse abdominis. Mm-hmm. And so those are the muscles that hold your internal organs in. When those muscles get cut through, then obviously there's dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And even in women who have vaginal births, if a section of the abdominals are going to check out and be on vacation, it's that lowest level of those deep abdominal muscles that kind of turn off. And so we need to find a way to re-engage those muscles, which then help support the low mm-hmm. back, help repair the dysfunction in the abdominals. And then also I would look at the C-section scar. Mm-hmm. Is there stickiness or did scar tissue attach to those muscles? So I will take women through scar massage and mm-hmm. then get to fascial rolling, you know, things like that to loosen up that area to make sure that the fascial tissue, that connective tissue and the skin where that incision is aren't negatively affecting the function of the abdominals as well.
Yeah, absolutely. People don't understand that is that when you have a huge injury like that, you have scarring, all this stuff. When you have an injury, your brain will literally change the firing rate of your muscle and make other muscles fire versus the primary ones that are supposed to be firing. Right. So training that difference and getting that neuromuscular re-education mm-hmm. to get that lower abdominal wall functioning firing, I think is a huge part of what you do.
Right. And breathing is one of the best ways to retrain that. So it's simple simple little things that I will guide clients through, just breathing exercises, gentle strengthening exercises, to make sure that the entire system is working as a team, because it is not, again, I'll go back to the Kegels. That is such a tiny little portion of the system as a whole functioning unit.
Mm-hmm. Because you're only looking at, it's like an isolation exercise versus doing like a full core exercise, right? So you're just training some muscles, but you're not training the whole gamut of that musculature.
Right. Yeah, and exactly. you have to look at, when you have a baby, it is not one part of you that is affected. It really is a head to toe effect on the whole system.
Yeah. I love that you brought up the breathing, right? Because I've been talking about that last few episodes, at least probably all of them.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm so happy that you have, because that's kind of the foundation I stand on as the base of how I begin all my training.
Mm-hmm. Because people don't understand, when that diaphragm gets stuck, what a huge muscle that is and how that can throw that whole core off.
Right. So the diaphragm and the pelvic floor muscles are partners. And so if one is dysfunctional, the other is going to be dysfunctional. So when you inhale and you are taking that breath in, the diaphragm is contracting, drawing down, pulling air into the lungs. At the same time, the muscles of the pelvic floor are relaxing, or should be relaxing. Mm-hmm. As you exhale, then the diaphragm relaxes, tucks itself back into its place near the rib cage, and that's when the pelvic floor contracts. So they kind of, if you think about when you were in PE class and you were doing the parachute, you know, where you flip it up, flip it down, that's how the diaphragm and the pelvic floor should react together. Or people will picture like a jellyfish,
right?
You know, and as they're floating through the water, it's that back and forth kind of marriage in respiration. They have to work together.
It's almost like your body was built to work together, and it's not just separate muscles that just affect that musculature, right?
Right.
Because
right.
People will come to me sometimes and be like, I've got a shoulder issue. And I'm like, well, maybe we got to check on your opposite hip. Right. And sometimes, a lot of times, that'll make it better. Right.
Right.
Because as I always tell people, I'm like, we're not, we are made of separate muscles, but really we're one big muscle.
Well, when, funny you say that, because quite often when somebody comes in with a pelvic floor issue, I will ask if they have TMJ issues, jaw pain, clenching challenges, because there is a direct fascial line from the jaw to the pelvic floor. So, nine times out of 10, if there's a jaw issue, there's a pelvic floor issue.
Hearing some great stuff from Mary Wilson today here on Power Talk 1040. We're going to be right back with some more awesome tips from her. And you're listening to The Cerebral Edge. We are back on The Cerebral Edge talking to Mary Wilson. And she is helping women postpartum, as well as many years after birth, helping with issues that you might have had from your pregnancy. So we talked about a lot of people having trouble with incontinence and things like that. And interesting, we were just talking, and some women out there might be thinking, it's too late for me. It's too long after this birth that I've had. It's been probably 10, 20 years. Can Mary still help me?
It's never too late.
It's never too late.
Never too late. We can change and heal and thrive, even, you know, grandmas, great grandmas, there is hope.
Wow, you've helped great grandmas.
Yeah, my mother-in-law is a great grandma.
Interesting. Wow. That just shows kind of how resilient the body is, right?
Totally.
That it can totally just snap back.
Right.
Wow. So if you think it's been too long and you can't get fixed, think again and give Mary a call. But anyway, so also what we want, I wanted to give the listeners is a couple of your favorite tips and tricks that you give people.
Sure. Well, the first thing that I generally will talk about is breathing, respiration. So I know this is radio, but I'm going to talk you through a little exercise. So place your hands low on your ribs. Mm-hmm. The rib cage should move 360 degrees with breathing. it gives the diaphragm space to move. It gives those connections where the ribs and the thoracic vertebrae meet. We want all of that to move and function. The shoulders do not become earrings. You keep the shoulders down. But place your hands low on your ribs so that your hands feel your ribs. Your fingertips are on your stomach. Your thumbs are on your back ribs. And then you're going to inhale for 4 seconds through your nose. And then exhale 4 seconds through your mouth. You should feel expansion on the right and left of your ribs. You should feel that like an umbrella. Picture an umbrella, and as you open an umbrella, the whole thing opens and the whole thing closes. So check that out. Feel how it is, and then I usually will tell people to practice that in front of the mirror, because you can feel what you're doing and you can see what you're doing. Make sure the shoulders stay down. That's usually number one with what I do, and then especially with my postpartum women, because I've taught many men respiration and breathing help too, because you men, you can have pelvic floor issues, especially if you have had car accident trauma, you've been thrown from a horse, thrown from a bike, fallen from a ladder, things like that. So pelvic floor dysfunction is not just a female challenge. So just know that too. But on an inhale and exhale, to think about when you're exhaling through your mouth, that you're exhaling the air from low in your pelvis up to your rib cage. That way you're not putting pressure down on those vulnerable pelvic floor muscles.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When you mentioned men, for sure, some of the core strengthening I do, that's how I get their core strong. Is I have them do that deep breath, good, right? And breathe deep, get that 360 expansion, especially if they're about to lift something heavy.
Right.
And they have a belt on. I'm like, you need to expand. Think if you have a weight belt on, you want to expand across that whole weight belt and then brace around it, right? Because then that's creating that rigid type core.
Right. Interabdominal pressure. That's something we talk about a lot, and making sure that as you take that inhale, that things through your core are able to move so that pressure has somewhere safe to go and isn't going to places like the pelvic floor muscles, because that's when the leaking or gas escapes or, you know, things like that. So making sure that the pressure management is there is a big deal.
Yeah, because I spent a couple hours looking at, you know, Olympic weightlifters, right, and world record breaking Olympic weightlifters. So not just any, you know, weightlifters. Right. And I noticed all of them breathe like that before a lift.
Yep.
They almost never breathe up in their chest like I see so many people do.
Right.
And they go, and they bring their shoulders way up, you know, because I think it's going to create this high shelf. Every world record I looked at did that lower abdominal breathing, right? And had that 360 expansion to brace around.
Yeah. It's good practice.
It's very good practice. So I can imagine, since you work with a lot of women, women have a hard time being a little bit selfish, don't they?
Oh, yes, we do.
Because they want to do everything for everybody else.
Right.
Right. And I know, of course, men do that too sometimes. But I imagine being a mom, you tend to put people ahead of yourself.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, we take great pride in being mothers and raising our children and doing the meals and doing the carpool. And, you know, quite often many of us work, whether it's outside of the home or inside of the home, it makes no difference. It is a 24-hour-a-day job. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to manage time and take care of ourselves. And it's especially hard when you think, well, I will start to exercise when the kids graduate or they're out of the house, or I will start to prepare different meals, or I will start to do that stretching program or the yoga program, whatever it is. But it's so much harder to jump into something when you've neglected yourself for so many years. And so 5 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, I will often give clients manageable workouts, exercises, programs based on what they realistically can put into each day, whether it's 20 minutes, but it's broken up into 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night. We have to prioritize ourselves. Partly, yes, because if we are taking care of ourselves, we can better take care of the people we love. But I don't want that to be the only reason that you do it. I want you to do it because you deserve it,
mm-hmm.
because you are valued and important enough to do something for yourself. So if the laundry baskets are overflowing or the beds stay unmade for 10 more minutes, there's nothing wrong with that. My mom, when we were growing up, she is fabulous, and I did not grow up in a house that was spotless all the time, but she had six kids, and she was very busy.
Wow.
But she said she has never watched any awards program or any Nobel Peace Prize winner who has said, I owe all of my success to my mom's clean house. And so I thought, you know, there is something to be said for that. Take a nap, go for the walk. Do 10 minutes of exercise. You are worth it.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I like when I broadcast on my episodes is about mindset and flipping that mindset.
Right.
Because people are so resistant to that mindset until you put them to them in those terms, right? Take care of yourself, because not only can you take care of other people better, but you deserve it. And some people have a really hard time with that.
Right. I never regret it. I get up early just because for my life, that's what works best. But I get up early to exercise. And even though I don't always like, yahoo, my alarm's going off, it's not always exciting, but I never regret.
I don't think I ever make that sound. My alarm goes off. I never go, woo-hoo.
I never regret getting up and getting the work done, but I always regret not doing it.
Oh, absolutely. That's something that I always remind myself too. If I'm going to the gym and I'm like, oh, I just don't want to do this, I always tell myself, I'm not going to regret it.
Right.
Right. The hardest part is just walking in the door and starting.
Right. Yeah. And in, like I said, start small. Even if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, that's an easy baby step toward taking care of yourself.
And that's really cool, because then you meet people where they're at.
Right.
Right. You don't sit there and be like, here's this perfect program. It's going to be 2.5 hours long. Right. And you're going to be doing this 5 days a week. Right. And then people look at that and they go, I'm out.
Right. And especially with parents who have kids that are all the way from little through high school, our days are not predictable. And so there may be days that are really, really difficult to fit that in.
Mm-hmm.
So make the most of the days that it does fit and give yourself grace. It's okay that it's not going to look perfect right now. One day it might, or certain days it might, but give yourself grace to do the best you can with what you have right now.
Mm-hmm. And I go to NeuroAthlete every once in a while, right?
I see you there.
And I put myself through some torture. And Mary was there, and I know she had a client. And I couldn't help but listen in a little bit, right? Because the way Mary put it to this lady who was having a hard time fitting it in was just awesome. Can you remember that conversation at all?
I remember bits and pieces of it, but yeah. I think that, you know, mainly it is that nobody else is going to take care of us. No one else makes sure that I am doing what I need to do for me each day. And so to make myself and my health mentally, physically, emotionally, making sure that that is a priority in each day is my responsibility, and I can do it, and I should not feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is something that people do have a problem with, is feeling guilty about it. So the way you describe it and you break it down to people and fit it in their lives where they can make it manageable, right? 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It's like, who doesn't have that for themselves?
Right. And I think it is. If you think about even just the time you spend checking email or looking at Instagram or Facebook, just set it down.
Mm-hmm.
Spend that. We all can waste 5 or 10 minutes doing that every day.
Easy.
Make that the time that even if you're waiting for water to boil, then you're doing squats or you're doing push-ups in your kitchen or you're doing, you know, your mobility drills or a stretch or things like that. Fit it into what already is in your lifestyle. If you're sitting and waiting for a kid to finish soccer practice or basketball practice, there is no reason that you can't fit 5 minutes of something, even if it's good mindful breathing, fitting 5 minutes of something into that wait time. You could do breathing exercises in the carpool lane because your car seat can work as a little feedback tool to let you know how the ribs are moving, if the shoulders are lifting, you know, just little things like that. Make yourself a priority.
Yeah, and just being self-aware.
Right.
To notice those things. Because there's so many people that will breathe up in their chest and not even realize it. And they're like, I'm doing it, right?
But especially in the carpool lane.
Especially in the
stressful place.
Red faces hitting the horn, right? But yeah, the more you do it, the more you get self-aware of what you're doing.
Right.
Because there's so many people out there that have dysfunctional movement just because they don't really know where they're at in space.
Right.
So taking those 5-10 minutes can be a huge life changer for you.
Yep. And it's just setting up new patterns, new ways to fit in the good things with what you're already doing.
Excellent. Well, you've been listening to Mary Wilson give away some amazing stuff here. How do people get a hold of you?
I am at NeuroAthlete in Monument, Colorado. Mm-hmm. You can look us up, look our website up on the internet, or you can give us a call, 719-225-4949.
Excellent. Thanks for coming on, Mary.
Thanks so much, Chris.
This has been the Cerebral Edge on Power Talk 1040. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you heard today will help make you at least 1% better. Because 1% every day adds up, doesn't it? That's exciting. Join me next Saturday at noon right here on Power Talk 1040. I'm Coach Chris. Until then, stay strong.
This has been the Cerebral Edge on KPPF. Have a question for Coach Chris? Email him at CerebralEdge1@gmail.com. That's CerebralEdge, the number 1@gmail.com. Join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another episode of The Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris on Power Talk 1040 KPPF.